And welcome to another episode of Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracy Podcast. I am one of your hosts, as always, on the other end of the mic.
It's Chris.
That's right. Boya is here. He's off camera talking to some dude in India about his cell phone situation. So he's going to be on the show here shortly. We do have two wonderful guests joining us tonight. But before we introduce them real quick, let's get through some of the business, Chris. As always, if this is your first time stopping by, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We know you have a lot of options. Guys, $5 a month, WBC Tavern, gets you all the exclusive stuff. There's four different shows to choose from underneath the umbrella of the Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracy Podcast. That's the main show. That's the Hooligan Tapes. That's Smoke Break with Boya and Steph. That's Flat Earth Fridays. And that's What If, the new show starting this month. Pretty excited about that. Chris, it's been a while.
I feel like I've neglected the show, so
I'm
back. Had some stuff going on, work issues and life, dealing with our, we talked about it on one of the Hooligan Tapes about the debacle of the build that's going on at my property for this pool. Seems like we got it all kind of wired and figured out.
Have you sued her yet?
In the process.
Suing her?
Yes, we are.
Don't lie to me.
I'm not. We have we have email correspondence with the lawyer right now and going back and forth. They wanted us to lay out all of our discrepancies for the pool build, and we laid it all out like step by step. And there's not one part of this whole entire build that they haven't fucked up. So
correct.
It was a long email that we sent off to him. So we're waiting to hear back from the lawyer. We're going to go from there.
Awesome. Awesome. Good for you guys. I went like full. So remember, I was going like, I was pissed for you. And I was like, I want you to drive this woman so far into the ground. I want you to take her kids' college fund, whatever those are. I want you to have it. These kids are going to junior college.
Yeah.
They ruined your life so much.
Yeah.
But, with all that out of the way, wonderful guests on the show tonight, hosts of a fantastic podcast, Jonathan, Jacob, I'll let you introduce your show, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having us. We've had you on before, and it was an absolute blast. Everybody who listened to that episode whenever you were on and you were presenting, you know, kind of your background and your story as far as your health and your family's health and such, people were very interested to hear that. And it also, you know, it kind of clarifies a lot of things that a lot of people have been wondering if other people have done. You know, certain things have gone down that kind of path. So I think you helped, you know, bring a little bit of ease. But as far as our podcast, we are the Cult of Conspiracy. We are available on all podcast platforms everywhere. Instagram, Cult of Conspiracy Podcast, TikTok, Cult of Conspiracy Podcast. We have a Patreon. We're on Rockfin. Everything is at Cult of Conspiracy Podcast. And we've been doing it here for about 3 years now.
Three together anyway. The show predates me by about 6 months. But since I got here, I consider that the rebirth of the show. And we're coming up on that 3-year mark on that one. So
Yeah. Before Jacob got here, that was a baby that should have been aborted. This is what I tell everybody, because there's a lot of people that always, you know, come to us and they're like, hey, I want to start a podcast, you know, what do I do? I got to get all this shit together and I got to get all this technology and download all these programs. I'm just like, dude, your first like 40 episodes are going to suck so bad.
Yeah.
It's literally for you. Like, just get started. That's the most important thing you can do.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's like the statistic says that like shows don't make it past like 7.
Right.
Or something like that. So if you can make it past 7, like you're already within like the top 20% of podcasts. But now with Rockfin, what do you guys do there? Do you guys do live shows, pre-recorded shows?
No, basically what we do over there, we upload everything over there. So we haven't gone live over there. I'm technologically still learning things. So we're still learning even how to use Patreon, but But yeah, as far as Rockfin, we first went over there because we were getting kicked off of YouTube, and that's where we found that a lot of the YouTube degenerates were, you know, invited to. And so we went over there and we saw that there was a lot of other, you know, conspiracy podcasts that were, you know, free to talk and very open-minded, didn't get butthurt over certain things. Right. And we felt, you know, kind of at home over there. So we've been with Rockfin for shit, I think like a year and a half now.
But we also don't post every single episode there. We do post a specific once a week episode. No, there's a Rockfin too.
No, we post everything over
every
there.
Every four week, four episodes a week get posted to Patreon and Rockfin. Yeah.
Yep.
Right on. That's cool, man. Cool. Yeah. And the episode that we did two weeks ago now?
Bro, I'm not going to lie. Time has all just went into a weird warp for me because I went to a week in Texas. I was working for a week. I went to a week in Florida, and I actually had to come home and work some in the middle of that. And it's just, I'm not going to lie. Time gap is lost here. I don't know if it was 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago.
A week or two, I think. Yeah, something like that.
You think so?
Yeah, I want to say it was 2 weeks ago. And I enjoyed that episode that we did because we kind of went all over so many different things.
We're right? known for tangents, I mean, brother. I feel you.
But those are some of the best shows, you know what I mean? Like where I mean, I'm not saying like specific deep dive topics aren't great. That's kind of like how we even started our show, right? That's like our roots. But sometimes getting on there and just talking about different things and getting different perspectives with different people is, I think, some of the best shows that we've ever done, and I'm glad that I was a part of that.
No doubt.
Yeah, yeah. When you organically just have a good conversation and it just kind of goes in off in a direction, and everybody can put on their input, and you get a ton of different perspective from all people from all walks of life. I mean, that's what, how a great show can come about. I just love it when we have good conversations like that.
Yeah, dude, and you know, it's hard to fit
us into a category because of that.
Right. Well, it's great to do it because, especially with other conspiracy podcasts, because you guys have covered so many topics, as have we. And obviously, like, it's impossible to cover literally everything. There's literally shit happening every day that, you know, oh, there's a submarine and don't look into the submarine because there's 10 different stories behind that. And it's like, okay.
I'm pretty sure that whole thing was fake, by the
way. Which one do we cover? You know what I mean?
It's at the same time, when you get with like-minded people and y'all are just riffing and the conversation is there because everybody's kind of on the same sheet of music anyway, like y'all said, that's some of the best conversations and some of the best content. But that's not to say that getting an expert to come in on the show as a guest to present some information and get questions throughout, or even have yourself. Like, there was one episode we did, as a matter of fact, on the dairy industry and the incredible conspiracy that dates back to Prohibition to now, that the government pretty much has to subsidize and prop up the complete dairy industry. But anyway, neither here nor there. I pretty much did all the research on that and presented it to the cult. And it was a thing that we do. So there really is no right or wrong way to do an episode. It's very hard. I try telling people like about our show, and y'all's show is very similar from what I understand is, or from what I've listened to anyway, I feel like we kind of are all cut from the same cloth in that we kind of don't get in anywhere. We get in where we fit in. And as long as it's about opening up perspectives and busting through the narrative and some truth to it, then we're just always going to end up at the same point, you know?
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, so like on our show, like I know you guys have like the cult members, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
cult
yeah.
of the conspiracy, that's what we call. So people that listen to our show, they're the truth hooligans. And so we came up with this moniker of like, do hooligan shit.
Fuck yeah.
And so, and that varies depending on what we're talking about. Like to us, like getting married, starting a family, raising your kids with core values that are beneficial to the family unit, but also to society. That's hooligan shit.
That's some renegade shit by today's standards, you know what I mean? Bro. That's some outlandish things you're saying right there. Mm-hmm. Some would even say a little pre-aggressive, you know?
Overly traditional.
Hate-filled is what you meant.
filled with bigotry and misogyny and all the other isms that are out there. That's basically what our show is.
How dare you teach your children to work hard and honor thy woman and, like, you know, provide and succeed and thrive? How dare we teach these principles? That's some hooligan shit, man.
That's hooligan shit. That's culty hooligan shit. You know what I'm saying right there? Yeah. Let's talk about this, because I don't know if Chris is familiar with the dairy industry conspiracy. Maybe let's riff
on
that.
Is this something to do with the amount of cheese that was stocked and piled away because the
fat electrician?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. That guy's a man. I love him.
Everything. He doesn't miss. Every fucking thing he puts out is a banger. I swear to God.
It is. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So the first time that I heard about that was probably a week or two ago. I was just randomly listening to some videos, and I listened to that one, and there's one of those ones you just, you sit back and like, what the fuck are we doing? I mean, our government and wasting money, and why, you know, why do we do this shit? But we do.
Think about it. That whole story is extremely G-rated. As far as like the government doing some shifty things and wasting tax dollars for X, Y, or Z, this is about as clean cut Disney Channel original movie as you're going to get. They subsidize the dairy industry and just stockpile the cheese and play kick the can. And they were just spending millions of dollars in refrigeration and storage costs. That is the TLDR of it. And that's not even that bad when you look at the CIA iceberg that is now making its way through popular culture and all of what the government has absolutely confirmed done with way, way worse outcomes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like you said, it's the tip of the iceberg with a lot of these stories. You get the, you get something, you get a little nibble, and you start going down the rabbit hole, and it just opens up and you're just blows your mind about the altogether, just the overspending, the fraud, the everybody's in someone else's back pocket, the backdoor deals, you know, the money going over to Ukraine. Why are we doing that? Oh, because the big guy got his cut, so now he's handing it back to him. You know, it doesn't stop.
It really doesn't. They're not even trying to be blatant. They're not trying to be coy about it anymore. They're not trying to hide it, saying, "Oh, duh, duh, duh." No, legitimately, we lost. What was it? $6 billion. We just up and lost it. Somehow it magically appeared in Ukraine, but then through the military industrial complex, like 5.2 of that somehow made its way back to U.S. soil. And it's like, wait, I'm sorry. Did y'all literally just do that? Show your hand. It was blasted on the news and no one's pissed.
But it doesn't matter.
No one's even like, okay, cool.
And honestly, it doesn't matter because all of this shit is run by the military industrial complex. That's my true beliefs. It's run by companies like Raytheon who are just like making so much money, and they make all of it off of war. So whenever you have a president or a cabinet or whatever the case may be that is all the way bowed down to the military industrial complex, then you're going to get things that coincide together like that. Oh, I accidentally lost $5 or $6 billion. Meanwhile, they'll come track you down, you know, if you didn't do your taxes last year.
Well, hold on. It's who funds Raytheon, right? Who funds these people?
Black budget.
Well, black budget, yes, but we're talking all the way to the tippy tippy top because the U.S. is in debt. Who does the U.S. go and borrow money for or against? The Red Shield dude. We're talking about the global international banking system that has made money off of war because where there is chaos, there is profit to be made, sir.
Yeah. What do you say on the job site? Chaos equals cash.
When a hurricane happens, every fucking mom and pop operation, LLCs themselves as some sort of clean and salvage crew, they go in as now a LLC official company, and they charge these people through the ass to clean up their yard, and half the time they're just robbing these people blind. Mm-hmm. That happens all the time. When there is chaos, positive or negative chaos, there is profit to be made.
How do you guys feel about all these military whistleblowers who are claiming that they've seen some UFO alien type shit? You know, whether it be in Antarctica, whether it be at this, you know, somewhere near the South Pole or whatever. I listen to a lot of conspiracy podcasts, and I've heard a lot of, you know, whistleblowers come out. And these are actually people that there's no reason for them to be lying. I'm not talking about that dude that came out, when was it, like a month or two ago?
The one that the Department of Defense cleared his statement before he went on air to blow the whistle on the Department of Defense. I'm like, bro.
Right, what? But he didn't really get into specifics, I think.
No, it was all secondhand information.
Right.
He never saw anything. They brought him into a room, and all these people came and told him what they saw.
Well, from what I hear, he's doing a massive disservice to all the other whistleblowers. Because what's going on is that he's saying, oh, well, I didn't see shit.
Controlled.
It's just what I've heard. Whereas all these other whistleblowers, they're saying, look, I saw some kind of weird platform that looked like it had some kind of sheen. And there was a spacecraft hovering above on it. There was nothing that was holding it up. It's very anti-gravity. I don't know if it's from some kind of offshoot civilization from another planet. I don't know if it's interdimensionally or ultra-dimensionally. Or whatever, that is what we want to hear. And you know, the thing that I think about all this stuff is that we as conspiracy theorists have always heard for since we started doing this shit is that eventually there is going to be a fake alien invasion, right? Mm-hmm. We've always heard this. And that's why this guy who's saying, oh, well, I've heard, you know, the UFOs and the aliens that are coming down here, they only mean fucking, you know, fists. Like they're just trying to catch these hands. They're trying to take us over. But you hear a lot of other people's, you know, stories about the aliens or the aircrafts or the UAPs or whatever. And it's like, no, if they wanted to fuck us up, they would have already done it. So that's where I lean to that side personally.
You know, it really, for me, like it depends on a couple things, right? So, I mean, you guys know my stance on flat Earth. Our audience does as well. At the same rate, it depends on what you mean when you talk about like UFOs, right? So I believe in two different things. One, I would categorize UFOs, unidentified flying objects, right? Extraterrestrials. Could this be from extra land that they have this advanced technology, like with what Tartaria had when they were here before whatever happened, when that veil was put up, when they hid all this technology from us? And could that be technology that they have and have always had, and they're exposing it and using it as like, here comes Project Bluebeam. That's more or less what I would see them trying to disclose. They're trying to build the narrative of aliens, because I tell you, we are not far off, in my opinion, from a one world government. And everybody knows the only way to unite everybody is if we had a common threat, a common enemy. That's what I think about that.
Said by Reagan.
Well, it's not just Reagan, dude. Look at throughout the course of human history, any time that a civilization has been at odds with each other, if there is a, it doesn't matter if it's like completely made up, if there is a bad guy that they can unify behind, like, all right, fuck you and all, but like, fuck that dude in particular, it's over. Everybody can at least join forces to unanimously agree. Think of Pearl Harbor. Think of 9/11.
Yeah.
Think of during, what was it we just had recently? The flood.
Yeah.
The flood of 2016. At that time in this area, race riots were a big deal. It was right after the Alton Sterling case. We had a lot of cop dealings. The BLM was big, big, big here. The flood came. Chaos came. Disaster came. Everybody couldn't give a fuck less what skin color you were. Everybody was up to their chest in water, and we had to roll, and everybody was helping each other out. It killed it. It killed the entire bullshit in its tracks.
Yeah, it did big time. But yeah.
Disaster and unifies.
Look, I'm on the same fence as you. I don't know what to think as far as, are these aliens coming from fucking planets? Are they coming from Jupiter? It's not that they couldn't be coming from there. It's just that I believe that our concept of these planets is not exactly what they teach us. You understand what I'm trying to say?
That's fair.
Yeah.
But I'm also on the same stance as you as far as extra land. They are called extraterrestrials. Are we not to believe a fucking admiral of the military whenever he said that he discovered Little America and that there was land
beyond the ice wall,
lush in vegetation? I mean, and what all we know about it now is that it's just frozen? No, there's more to it. Yes, mm-hmm. So I'm definitely a huge believer that, I mean, maybe
I absolutely it's advanced. Believe in other planets with other living creatures that may or may not be on them. See, we're very differing in our views for sure.
Let me ask you. Well, before we do that, I want to show you guys this video. Chris Boyer, are you guys? Can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you. Chris's headphones are fucked. It's been a day, dude. So
okay,
let's just roll with it.
We're trying to make the best of it. We can hear you guys okay. Can you guys hear us okay now?
Yep.
Yep.
Right. Okay, cool. We'll make it work. I'm just gonna resize this real quick. So speaking of this anti-gravitational, finger quotes here, technology, this was developed in World War II by the National Socialists during the rise of the Third Reich. And I'll just go ahead and play this for you right here. Let's back it up just a little bit. So this was developed during World War II. They already had this technology.
Mm, for sure.
Right? I mean, so when they come out with, like, you know, whistleblowers about aliens and stuff like that and technology that's out of this world, yeah. Maybe it was something that we've already had and have always had, right? Especially if you watch these videos, like, from Tartaria and stuff like that, and they got moving sidewalks and wire, like wires string between poles and up to cathedrals and stuff like that, that we knew that maybe cathedral meant something else during the time. You know, who knows? But it's like, it's one of these things where I feel like history is lost in like 10 years. Like a 10-year window is all they need for people to really forget and cause so much chaos and distraction. Give it 20 years. Now you can change textbooks. Give it 30 years, and it's a whole new idea to that generation.
I'd say like, generation, maybe not a decade. That might be a little too short, because like people could still remember like World War One even a decade after, right? People could remember the stock market crash a decade. I say give it about a generation. Let it become third person. Let it become what grandma told you. Absolutely right.
Well, all history is just a lie agreed upon. That's literally all it is. Like, we don't know anybody that can confirm like exactly certain historic things. You know, although, we just take a lot of people's word for it.
Talking about historic things and flying craft. Yo, have you ever heard of the flying Jeep?
No.
Yo, share the screen real quick. Y'all are definitely going to want to Juju search this one. Go ahead and look up the I'm going to spell it because I don't want to mispronounce this. G-A-Y-J-A-N Plox, P-L-O-X. VZ8 Air Jeep.
Okay, you're talking about
fucking crazy hovercraft looking shit.
I'm dyslexic as balls. J-A-Y.
G-A-Y. Gajin. So G-A-Y-J-I-N space P-L-O-X VZ-8. Dash or Vector 8. Zulu TAC 8, if you want to get real, real technical.
Let's see.
Flying Jeep, man.
Piaski VZ8 Air Jeep.
There you go. Check out the images on that, man.
All right, here. Let me share this.
I don't know if there's any surviving footage of it in flight, but there are surviving pictures of it in flight.
Let's see. This is a supposed, if this is the same one. Let's share this. Is this it?
That is a prototype of it.
So it's like a giant hovercraft.
It's basically a hovercraft. It had the capabilities of going pretty much all terrain like a Jeep, and they also had 50s mounted on the front and the back of it in its show model prototype form.
Well, yeah, but that's clear what the propulsion is. I think what he was referring to as far as that little car, was there any significant like propulsion system to it?
No, hear me out. Think if you were living in the middle of New Mexico, in the desert, minding your business on your little farm, and in the middle of the night, you hear and see that thing flying over you. What would you think?
Well,
who would you call?
Most people who understand UFOs,
Men in Black.
You don't hear them. I don't hear UFOs.
I don't know what that sounds like. There's no audio for it. It might sound like giant fans. It might sound like a diesel engine. My point is, if you didn't know any better, you'd be like, what the hell is that?
That's something fucking Bobby Boucher's mom wrote it on right there.
Airboat, son? Shit. You've never ridden on one, have you?
No.
Dude, will you come to the bayou with me one time?
Yeah.
Come frogging with me one time in the middle of the night.
I'm good.
One time.
I don't like those grimy fucking things,
you
dude.
You do
I'm
if
good.
They're fried right.
Absolutely not.
This boy here, he too uppity.
But as far as, you know, like things that may be quote-unquote anti-gravity, from what I understand, is that as far as anti-gravity goes, is that they are anti-gravity in a way, but basically their propulsion system is built so that they're using the gravity as the propulsion system itself. Mm. And it's so fucking weird, dude. It's so convoluted. I mean, this is just what I'm hearing from the military whistleblowers.
Is it convoluted, though? Because we agree that everything has to exist in a harmonious balance, right? For every peak, there has to be a valley. For every good, there has to be an evil. For every gravity, in theory, there would have to be a anti-gravity, so to speak.
Well, let's.
Is it crazy that some other force or some other entity has found this force found a way to harness it?
We're throwing around a word that a lot of flat earthers don't agree with.
I said theory.
I'm talking about gravity. Here.
I said theory after the word gravity. Okay.
Gravity's still a theory.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So yeah, we'll go with, theory. I like the path you're on here.
I gave proper credence for your tribe. I did. I'm all respect and propers.
Hey, don't lump us all in there. Not all of us are flat earthers.
Chris, you are.
I know I'm way more off the fence than I ever was. That's for sure. Especially hearing Brian yap about it all the damn time.
No, but let me tell you this. Let me tell you guys this.
Tangents, dude.
let me tell you about this. So a recent theory proposed about the explanation of gravity, right, is that it is actually electrostatic, and everything is electrostatic all the way down to the molecular level. What's interesting about that is we can actually manipulate electrostatics with something called a Venn diagram. And what it does is it introduces a certain amount of voltage to fluctuate the electrostatics in the environment, causing things to rise, fall, and levitate. So what if what they're claiming is anti-gravity? What if they've harnessed it in a way that they can collect enough voltage? Because there's a constant voltage around us at all times. I think it's 1,000 volts per meter as you increase, mm-hmm. To where they can, like around the object itself, charge it, manipulate the electrostatics, and cause it to levitate, move side to side, omnidirectional. Well, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility.
Well, I think that's exactly how it's done. I forget the podcast, but there was a guy, they were talking to him about his dad ran a construction company. He was a general contractor, but he only did military contracts. And he basically would build shoot houses for the military. So he went in to survey a space to build a shoot house, and it was in an underground bunker. So they walk him to the facility entrance. They tell him and his son, okay, this guy's going to take it from here. They get into an elevator. Elevator only has two buttons. They said they were in the elevator for quite some time, descending. And they get to the bottom of the stairs, and the guy tells him, your eyes are on the ground. Don't look up. Don't look at anything. Don't study anything. Keep your eyes on the ground. Once I tell you to, you can look up. So they walk through this room. The guy, of course, is fucking peeking, right? And he says he sees these two giant spheres that are way too big to fit in this elevator, way too big to, you know, just carry on down. And in between these two spheres is a giant monolith about 20 feet long and about 8 feet wide. And it's hovering. And there's two guys there. They're dressed all funny. They're moving this thing around freely, pushing it around like it's a feather. And then they go into the room. The guy says, okay, this is where the shoot house is going to get built. So they're taking some measurements and they're writing some shit down. And then they walk back through. The monolith and both spheres are completely gone. He said the only noise he could hear when he got there, he kind of knelt down to act like he was tying his shoe, and he could hear like a low humming sound. And they get to the elevator. The guy tells him, okay, cool, you guys need to sign these NDAs. They said, we're not signing shit. We didn't see anything. Well, they get back up top. They go home, and a couple weeks later, the father's house is completely ransacked. They took everything, any identifying marks for their business, any contracts they had, anything like that. They took everything from the house. The son comes over, sees the doors kicked in, goes in, yells for his dad. Dad tells him, hey, I'm here in the office. And he asks him, there was a designation for this location, like, you know, shoot house 14 or whatever. And he says, does this have anything to do with shoot house 14? And his dad said, I don't ever want to fucking hear you say that ever again. A couple weeks later, dad is diagnosed with severe cancer. There's nothing they can do. He's going to die.
What the hell?
He dies on his fucking deathbed. The son, you know, he decides like, okay, I got to move on. Like a year later, he's going skydiving. Someone from the back of the plane comes over and says, hey, I'm sorry for your loss. Then lines up behind that dude during the jump, you know, so he has his little fucking safety harness hooked up to the top of the plane. When he jumps out, the other guy's fucking safety harness is tied around his neck. So he goes to deploy his chute. He can't because now he's all tangled up and shit. The other guy cuts loose, deploys safely. The son fucking barely deploys his secondary chute and hits the fucking ground. He survives, but he's like, what the fuck, dude? So they basically destroyed this dude's life afterwards, right? They drug his name through the mud. They fucking shit on his company. So now the guy's basically homeless. He had to build his shit back up. And still not to where he used to be, but now he goes around basically calling these people out. Call it Men in Black, call it what you want, but that hum, right? The only, it's a very distinct humming sound, especially big country, you know, working as an electrician. You can tell when there's an electric device around. It has a specific hum. So I think exactly what they're using is static electric frequencies in order to levitate these giant objects. That's one of the theories behind how they built the pyramids. And it makes plenty of sense to move those big, giant fucking pieces of rock, you know, because slaves sure as hell didn't use pulleys and horses to build it.
Come on, man. Manpower. Good old-fashioned manpower.
Nah, man.
They did find canals under a lot of pyramids that had remnants and pools still existing of liquid mercury.
Yeah.
And when you there's a polarity that you can charge to it. So, you know, reversing polarity will either cause the liquid solution to rotate clockwise or counterclockwise at a high rate of speed, depending on how much voltage you put into it. Mm. And you can actually cause things to levitate with that. Is it out of the realm of possibility that is how they built the pyramids, on top of probably giants, right?
Yeah.
Probably these titans that we get all these mythological stories from.
And let's not forget, the Great Pyramids are also built. They are a giant piezo crystal. Mm-hmm. Literally, as it's agitated, it puts off its own voltage. It puts off its own pulse. And we know that the underground water tables are still rocking against it as we speak. So the pyramid, whether we can measure it or not, is absolutely sending up pulses of a voltage charge into the sky at all hours of the day. And as you're talking about on a pool of mercury, which, like you're talking about, can be polarized and can be spun, meaning it would agitate the pyramid of crystals even more, it's not even out of the realm of possibility. At this point, the only thing we're missing is the whole big why to it all, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're why definitely machines of some sort.
Well, we know that, okay, so like the manpower thing. Yes, the Egyptians had slaves. That has been documented. Nobody is questioning that. However, .. There's no way that manpower cut those stones, moved them into that place perfectly, took them all down because originally they were lined up on the wrong three stars. So they had to build them all to perfection, take them down, and reassemble them into perfection. There's no way that they did that off of a back-breaking slave whip labor. I'm sorry. That's
twice.
That foreman probably lost his job, am I right?
100%.
It
started the union shortly after that.
Union won.
Next thing you know, here comes Moses.
I know. We have to organize, goddamn. I just talked to this fucking burning marijuana plant, and I got some great ideas.
Bro, you won't believe it. I went out into the wilderness, saw fire. You're not going to believe this, but we got to start going, right?
That story start.
Here's my question to you guys. What do you think about this? With all of this kind of ancient technology, it leads a little bit of credence to the idea of steampunk. Like steampunk came from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like it wasn't just someone's imagination, I think, especially like when you talk about stories that were written about like the Iron Republic and Atlantis and places like this. Like they came up with these stories somewhere. Of course, it's all listed as like science fiction and stuff like that. Do you think that like steampunk was like a thing and that's just what we labeled it and made it more of like a story for us now?
So steampunk as in the genre and style and movie art and all that shit, I believe that is purely aesthetics based off of somebody's imagination. However, the theory behind it, right? Could steampunk have happened, or at least did it happen? Maybe not to the degree of like Wild Wild West. Okay. Right. It might be a little out of the box here, but could something like that have really gone down, especially in small pockets of America? Cause you think about it, you have your little niche tribes, right? You have your tech geeks that all hang together. When steam power was hot and heavy, and that was like the latest and greatest of innovation, you know they had to have little clubs of dudes doing wild shit with small steam turbines in their house just for the fuck of it. They had 100%. To have handymen doing piddling shit because that's what men do with nothing better to do with some spare money. It just happens.
Yeah, yeah. There's some guy building a steam-powered killdozer.
Dude, okay. I literally just watched a video on this, on like the five biggest steam-powered things that people don't know about. One of them was a train that's still in use today. That was super tight, but like we've heard of steam-powered engines.
Yeah.
One was a massive steam-powered tractor that is still in use today.
Oh, shit.
One of them dated back to the 1700s. It was the first self-propelled automobile by definition in America, and it was basically just a tricycle with a steam turbine on the front. Mm-hmm. And it went very, very slow, and it was a whole fucking five-lever situation to move it 2 miles an hour. But the fact that it existed, some dude was bored as fuck and decided, hey, I got an idea. That, you know what I mean? Steampunk as a theory, and especially in some sort of subculture in America, could have, and I believe definitely was, totally a thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if we go back to some like little pocket civilization somewhere. Like you said, even if it's just this little niche group and it's could be, you know, 500-600 people that were living in that style for sure.
See, what? Well, if you go back to what we were originally talking about, well, like this anti-gravitational technology that we're like just now discovering, harnessing and improving, maybe that's we're just finding the bits and pieces that were left over before. Because if they had the technology then, especially like with building the pyramids and stuff like that, is it not possible that they could have developed this anti-gravitational type flying machines to where they could build whole cities in the sky, and then, you know, whatever the mud flood was, whatever the catastrophic event that took place that buried all this shit, we lost all of it, and there's certain people that have access to that information and we just don't have it yet.
Dude, I
the Vatican, dude,
I really think that a lot of this information is really lost on purpose. So I think that there has been elites probably of every era, you know, even dating back to the steampunk era, elites of the Atlantean era, elites of the Egyptian era. I think that these people have found ways to take and learn from the, you know, call it the slaves or whatever, just the people of whatever society. They've taken that kind of technology, that learning, and all of that knowledge. And then they probably found a way to wipe out all of civilization.
Dude, you look at like the burning of the Library of Alexandria.
Yeah.
Do you have any concept of how much lost information, lost text, lost technology, blueprints, schematics, God knows what was lost in that because of one man's vengeful spirit?
Yeah.
See? And that's one example of one library. Let's talk about Hitler burning books, so much so that some of these we still can't find prints of to this day. Let's talk about how much Attila the Hun came in and torched shit after he was done. If they were on his side, he's cool with them. If you're not, I will level your fucking city where no one's ever heard of your bloodline. Like, what's up?
Yeah.
How many ruthless people have done shit like that throughout the course of history that didn't understand the long-term ramifications of it? But we suffer as a result. You know what I mean?
It's not even them. It's not their lack of understanding the long-term ramifications of society in general. It's that these people are power hungry. And we see these fuckers alive now and well today, right? Like, they are still out there. They're still trying to prevent people from fucking discovering water-powered cars and engines and shit like that. These people are being killed off. And so everybody's praising all the Tesla vehicles, and we're just mining all these fucking things, and it's not good.
Water powered none of it's cars. Good. We get taxed for collecting rainwater, for fuck's sake. Water powered cars. We are so
taxed for collecting rainwater, well water, all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to put a meter on everything that they can. But back to the Library of Alexandria and you know, all these different figures taking books, technology, things like that. I'm not sure if I think that most of this ancient stuff, including, you know, pieces of from the Library of Alexandria and going way back, all these people that have destroyed all this stuff, I don't think it's all been destroyed. I think that some of it has been cherry-picked to keep, and every piece that means something to humanity is in the Vatican archives somewhere. There's a reason why they won't let you down there by yourself. Right. You have to have expressed written permission. You have to have fucking a permission slip signed by your mom. You need, you know, all this bullshit to get down there. And you can only spend a certain amount of time there. And you'll never get to what you're looking for because of how vast this underground archive is. So I think a lot of that shit is kept under lock and key, and only specific people are able to enjoy, you know, the actual text or whatever it is.
I'm going to say something controversial.
Yeah, because I
archives ain't all that.
Yeah.
I think Ashoka's 9 unknown men actually hold all of the secrets. I think the Vatican's just propping up like they got all the secrets.
Okay. Okay. Who's well,
what was that?
Ashoka's 9 unknown men.
Who are they? What is that?
long,
sounds like a
long,
dirty
long,
sex move.
No, no. Although it is from India. Funny you should mention that. Kama Sutra, same wheelhouse. Uh-huh. So
long story smells short, really bad,
Chris,
then.
Get ready.
Yeah. Long story short, a Indian emperor named Ashoka, he created a small group, a secret group of 9 unknown men. And no one would know who they were except for him. And it was only for that first class. Mm-hmm. Each of them was selected to go out and study everything that they could. Their entire life would be dedicated to one specific field of study. Some was math, some was medicine, some was science, some was music. Didn't matter. Each person had their one thing that they had to master or learn every bit of knowledge that there was on Earth about this thing. Right. Once a year, these gentlemen meet, they discuss what they have found, and they go out. When the time comes and they die, they select their next in line, and there's a whole ceremony for this, and boom, it keeps continuing. Right. To this day, there is legends that these 9 unknown men still operate and that they have passed down these secrets and these legends through and through. The argument is that the Vatican actually knows this and cannot do anything about it because it is so deep in the jungles of India that there's no way you'll ever find these guys. So it's all a big controlled op to make it seem like the Vatican's got all the secrets. In reality, they got the tidbits left over from these guys.
Mm. Dude.
So kind of like warring factions fighting over information, essentially.
More like the Catholic Church wishes it was old enough to make the claims that Ashoka's 9 unknown men could make.
Right. Well, so see, I've always thought... Personally, check this out. That the Catholic Church and the Vatican itself aren't, you know, religious based. They're power based. We know that from the Crusades. You know what I mean? We know that from them wiping out anybody who wasn't, you know, worshiping Christ. And so I don't think that the Vatican itself is. I think the Vatican is nefarious enough to use the church as a shield for protecting the information that they have. That is either gathered or ordered to be gathered by possibly one of those 9 men or another group. You know what I mean? I wholeheartedly believe that the Catholic Church is just a sham. 100%.
I'm not saying that they're not a sham in the fact of their organization. Oh, they are
right,
real.
Right, right.
They are for sure real. But
correct.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page here. No
yeah,
doubt.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so check this out, right? Chris Boya. You guys know we talk about video games a lot, right? One mm-hmm. of my favorite series of all time, Metal Gear Solid. Hideo Kojima Hell is yeah. on some shit. That motherfucker's on some shit. If you guys remember the Patriots from that game.
Yeah.
Okay. They were 3, 6, 9. There's 12 of them, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's said in the game that these 12 men were the movers and shakers of the world. Basically like one representing each family, elite family.
Right.
Right? The weird thing is in the game they say that like, yeah, these men have been in control and they continue running the world to this day. Mm-hmm. And they said though, yeah, but they've been dead for like 20 years when this game took place, right?
Right.
I feel like things are hidden in plain sight, right? Like that's like maybe a glimpse of that, right?
Yeah.
The Shogun yada 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 from India, whatever you said.
Ashoka.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I was close. But if you look at like think about like the Indiana Jones series, right? When they go into that warehouse and it's got all the shit stored there.
Yeah.
That's like a glimpse of looking at what maybe like Alexandria was.
Right.
Or underneath what the Vatican is claimed to be. Or the Shogun samurais from India. You know what I'm saying? Like They always show us glimpses of what's really going on, which is why I think, truly, that movie Snowpiercer.
Oh, yeah.
I seriously think that's all about, like, prior to the mud flood, right? Or just after the mud flood. They built a train on the ice wall, and they're waiting for the sun to move close enough to defrost everything so they can get back to where they were originally or move past the ice wall. And they built this train to go in a circle around the earth because the sun has moved too far away from the center where we all live right now. Mm-hmm. And they're waiting for it to get close enough to thaw so they can go back to the civilization that they once were in or go to the extra land that's beyond the ice wall. I don't know. We're getting crazy here.
Yeah, well, I can't kind of dating back to what I was trying to say earlier, as far as, you know, elites basically wiping out civilizations, taking the technology with them and letting a new civilization start, you know, with fucking fire and, you know, bow and arrow. I think that that's entirely possible. Why wouldn't you do it? If you are that power hungry, why wouldn't you like take away all the tools and technology to better civilization if you were just some kind of sick fucking elite, probably pedophile, that wants to have all of the power to themselves? So right. that's why I always bring it back. And I'm, you know, I love that you brought that up on Metal Gear Solid and the 12 dudes on there that officially, you know, ran shit. And I don't know. I mean, as far as, you know, a lot of religious shit out there, I think that we're all meant to look somewhere else so that we don't look at any other shit personally. Right. Like it, like look over here. It's the ultimate illusion. Mm-hmm. Look over here. Not within yourself. What you feel within yourself is totally wrong.
Yeah.
Learn this other way that we as men are going to teach you is the right way. And yeah. I think it's all a sham.
But you'd rather rely on yourself, a man, than the others of a man. So either way it goes, you're relying on man who is fallible, dog.
Right. Mm.
Fallible. Chris, what do you think? Chris?
Say that again?
I said, Chris, what do you think?
About?
I think you're just taking it all in right now. Internal look at
ourselves rather than the higher power that possibly created everything.
Well, you're taking it all in, and I can see your wheels turning.
Take over, and the guys, I can buy into that, and I understand why they would do that. We talked about burning down the. They don't know the repercussions of it. What they would do the damage? They absolutely do. They absolutely know what it's going to do and how far it's going to set everyone back. And it goes back to the control thing, where if they set everybody else back, I've got control for years and years and years until they catch back up. And I think that's kind of where we're at, right? Technology's in a spot where we're gaining ground constantly. Information's at everyone's fingertips, and they're doing all kinds of things to distract us all the time. And I think we're going to get to that boiling point where if there are those 12 people that do run the show or thing, they're going to have to flip that reset switch soon, because otherwise we're going to catch on to them, right? So I kind of think in that aspect, I think that we're all, that's where we're at right now. The internal reflection about ourselves, turning into ourselves, I buy into something a little bit different, but that's just my background personally. But I can definitely see how the control aspect of the 12 people that run the show and how they keep their thumb on all of us, it's definitely possible. And definitely, you, if you look at the corruption and the psychopathic nature of people who like to be in control, and if you look at the type of people that are out there that have the money, that have all the technology, that
George Soros is a great example.
There you go. There's the money guy, right? That guy is fucking insane. And he's probably running the whole gambit.
Well, you got to think, you know, somebody that has that kind of influence, that kind of money, and they can say, hey, you're elected. You're my guy. I'm going to fucking pay you whatever you want as long as you push through my policy. Right. So every single George Soros backed DA is doing no bail. Right. They have legislators writing lighter sentences for pedophiles, for murderers, for anyone that harms children. And then it just spreads from there. You know what I mean? So it's not out of the realm of possibility to have nine guys deciding who goes where.
By regions. They can do it by regions.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and George Soros isn't even the guy. That's the fucking craziest part of the whole thing. Is he's just a fucking regional manager.
Yeah, you know? Mid-level management.
Oh,
yeah.
Think about this, man. The only reason why we know the name Rothschild is because the actual powers that be allowed us to actually know that name.
Yeah.
If the Rothschilds were actually in control, we would have never fucking heard of them.
Yeah.
I think the people that truly control, and I don't think it's just like one person or like a couple people. I think there's a collective group.
Sure.
Their name's probably not even written down.
Yeah.
It would never be allowed.
Right? I believe you might have heard of their ancestors, right? So like Medici, for instance. I don't believe that the dude running the world has the last name Medici. I believe that probably 18 generations back he may have.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right. George Soros's name isn't even Soros. His dad was a Nazi, and they all changed their names. I mean, the Queen of England, her family, they're all German. They're not even British.
Exactly.
They changed their name.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys this real quick, before we get into maybe the last topic for tonight, because we got started a little bit later. But with all that being said, do you guys know who Mansa Musa is?
Yeah. Mansa Musa is probably the wealthiest man to ever live. He literally bankrupted the entire Horn of Africa on his pilgrimage to Mecca. Dude was fucking insane with the amount of baller status he had.
I don't think I've heard of Mansa Musa.
I've never heard of him.
Boy, you should be ashamed. He's black.
I'm only half. Give me a break.
Okay, that's true. Quarter black. So Mansa.
Better fucking.
Kudos to you for knowing who Mansa Musa is. Most people do not.
They don't. Fuck and I think it's on purpose because I don't believe the story of how his empire fell. Right. So
hit us with a quick, you know, Cliff Notes version of.
Okay, Mansa Musa, a 14th century West African emperor. And it's believed that he was the richest man to ever live, like even to date. Damn. They're estimating his net worth anywhere between 400 to 500 billion with a B.
I thought it was trillion.
It could be. I mean, this is just notes that I have.
With inflation, probably.
Well, understand, he only dealt with gold. He didn't have coin. Yeah. He had fucking bricks that he would just throw left and right because he couldn't give any less of a fuck. It was great.
God damn.
Yeah, so he used to go through, like you said, he was traveling to Mecca, and he would bankrupt entire economies by literally giving them gold. Like, he would walk into a region with his army, and he was very generous. Like, he wasn't like a stifler, right? And if he didn't see like the people were being mistreated by their leader or whatever, he would just give them all gold. So now the poverty level, they became as rich as the elites of that region, and it would bankrupt their economy, crash the whole system, and he'd be like, all right, see you guys later. Go to the next one.
Big gulps, huh?
And all right, see you later. So they said that, right here, there's a subnote. During his pilgrimage to Mecca, he injected so much gold into the local economy that the metal's value dropped throughout Egypt, earning him his reputation as the richest man of all time. Damn. But it says that he led to the destruction of his entire economy, like as far as his tribe was concerned, because of his generous handouts. I truly don't believe that.
See, the story I read was that it fell to his son, who was the epitome of a spoiled rich kid who didn't know how to run his country, and then they were set upon on all sides by their enemies, and they were pretty much wiped off the face of the earth. All of their gold was pillaged. That was what I had heard. Again, I may be thinking of a different leader, but I thought that was the story of Mansa Musa.
Yeah, I'll show you guys a picture on air of, like, of course, a drawing of what, you know, they thought that he looked like. But let's just say, hypothetically, it was due to his son, right? Like, because he died fairly young, and his empire was left to his son, right? But as the great leader that he was, don't you think that maybe he would have kind of given these secrets to his son? To be like, hey, this is how you continue what we've built. And I'm not saying like the spoiled rich kid is off the table. Right. But that's something you see now more or less than maybe back then, because if you look at like African lineage and heritage, it's extremely important to them, even to today.
Right.
Like family
but
and tradition and culture and stuff like that.
Yeah. Maybe the downfall wasn't necessarily him, you know, or his son fucking blowing all this gold on hookers and gambling. Maybe they said they were set on by enemies at all sides in order to move their money. You know what I mean? Because you walk around tossing out gold bricks here and there, people are going to hear about it. So there's a very good chance that empires came for that gold, right? And maybe he said, hey, we got pillaged before you guys got here. We're fucking dead broke, man. And they just moved the empire to somewhere else.
That's very possible too, but then you could also look at other historical examples. Most notably, comes to mind is Marcus Aurelius. He led the Romans into their peak, arguably. Right as soon as he passed, Commodus took the throne. And don't believe the gladiator story. Look at the actual historical precedents. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened with him. Right, so he took over as emperor, and completely destroyed the legacy that his father had built.
Yeah, true.
Are you talking about Marcus Aurelius?
Yeah, Marcus Aurelius. And then as soon as this Uncommonist took the throne, that was it. It was fucked. Because yeah.
Well, I guess it was
the epitome of a spoiled rich kid.
I guess it's kind of sort of true. Like the gladiator.
There's not room for both.
Yeah, yeah, like
you got to zhuzh it up for Hollywood. You know what I mean?
You got to keep in mind the Roman Empire, was not as well to do as Mansa Musa. Right. So it also makes sense to me that he would die his son. Keep in mind, maybe he wasn't a military strategist. Maybe he wasn't a spoiled rich kid either. But maybe he just wasn't a capable leader. It's very possible. Right. And yeah, when they went on this, keep in mind a fucking pilgrimage. Where you're supposed to take a vow of poverty and walk your happy ass to Mecca. Keep all of that in perspective. But whatever. Not judging. Not yucking your yum, bro. I guess if you got it, you should flaunt it. Whatever. And he did that much damage to the economy. Keep in mind, in Egypt, they had gold. He spent so much that it went to zero. So would it be crazy to think that other powers saw and heard of this from across the Mediterranean, maybe from Southern Africa, and was like, hold on, there's that much gold to be had. Their army cannot be that fucking strong. All of us together, we could just take this and we all don't have to worry about debt for a little bit, boys. I could see that as a total possibility as well.
For sure. What's remarkable about that story is there's so little that's known about that empire, and it was the richest of all time ever.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we just didn't write anything down. See, I think that's where, like, maybe the
Library of Alexandria.
Maybe, but see, but then part of me wants to think too, like, I put on my tinfoil hat for a minute, and then I start asking questions like, maybe there's a reason they didn't write down what these guys were doing.
You ever heard of the Kingdom of Put?
Kingdom, no.
The Put, P-U-T. It's only mentioned in ancient Egyptian history scrolls. This land apparently was so massive and so well off that it rivaled Egypt in its prime, and somehow we have no fucking record of where it actually was, who was an emperor of it, what happened to them, nothing. The only mention historically we have is Egyptians mentioning that they were a type of people that definitely had boats. We know they had some sort of trade network and that they rivaled Egypt. That's all we know.
I can't even find anything.
The Kingdom of Put, P-U-T.
Yeah, P-U-T. Or
Punt, excuse me, P-U-N-T, excuse me.
Oh, Punt, okay.
My bad.
Punt.
I worked a full shift today, and I had to rewire a couple of extra motors. It was a...
No excuses, God damn it. To the ancient Egyptian, the land of Punt, or Punt, I'll just say Punt, that's easier.
Sure.
With its reeds, beehive-shaped houses raised on its stilts above water, was the most exotic and mysterious places to live, from which to receive visitors. For more than once, the royalty of Punt came to the court of the pharaoh in Egypt.
Somehow we know nothing more about what the Egyptians say. We have no ruins that we have found. There's conjecture, and there's alleged ancient mud huts that could have totally been dot dot dot. Yeah, but it could have also just been a mud hut from God knows what. How are you going to carbon date that? You know what I mean? Yeah. So
Somalia could be the allegedly place of it.
We know that they existed, but that's about all we know. And apparently that was a very rich, thriving culture. What happened to them, bro?
Take all the secrets and burn the remnants.
Right.
Take all the secrets. Now let me ask you guys this as we kind of wrap up the show here, last few minutes. Chris, I want you to jump in on this one. I know this is one of your favorite topics because it baffles you, but you're also a little bit lizard guy on this. Where do you guys stand on the Mandela?
Yeah, you go ahead and go first.
I'll start us off. There are so many fucking things that I remember that I know have changed. However, it affects people differently because I'm older than these two knuckleheads.
I'm fucking way older.
Way older. Some of the things that they bring up, I have like no fucking clue, and I'm like, that's not the way I remember. But then there's certain things that I do remember that's different. So the Mandela effect, I'm all over the place. I can go either way with it. It definitely seems like there's some things that are just fucked up and have changed really big. I mean, like, blatantly obvious to me and nobody else.
What do you think it comes from, though? Like, why is it different for me than it is for you?
Alternate timelines, dude.
Time's been altered, dude.
Do you think we're from two different...
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I think things are meshing together and it's getting everyone all fucked up in the head.
Okay, let me ask you guys this before you give an answer. I'm gonna ask both of you. Give me your answer. Where in the body? Where in the body is the human heart?
Supposed to be in the left side of the cavity of the chest.
Do you mean the muscle, or do you mean the ethereal thing like a soul? What?
No. Like I mean the actual muscle, the pumping. Muscle.
Yeah. Chest cavity, just center and slightly. When I say slightly, I don't mean way the fuck. I mean very slightly to the left.
So you remember it in the center?
No.
Not center.
No, I always remembered it being on the left.
That's why you place your hand over your heart on the left side when you say the Pledge of Allegiance. That was what we always taught. That's why you wear your ring finger on the left hand, because it's closer to your heart. That stories of conjecture. But even the from my understanding, the earliest signs of like a body, what's it called after you die? Your autopsy. Heart. They pretty much knew that the heart was just left of center.
Okay. Not in this paradigm, dude.
What you mean, bro?
I mean, in this place that we're residing in, that they say is the timeline that we're on, which I beg to differ. It's dead center. It is
they
dead
center. Mean that more meat of it is on the left side? Is that what they meant?
No, dude, go to, I don't care what search engine you use. Go to Google, Brave, DuckDuckGo, Safari, whatever you use.
Interesting.
Look up where this human heart is. Every image shows it's in the center.
Now do the liver.
Very correct. But I also wonder again.
Do the kidney? You mean the kidneys?
Or the kidneys? Yeah.
I wonder if that's more. If it's that's what it means, because the heart's not exactly a symmetrical muscle, right? I mean, it's got more of left and right, and it's some weird stuff going on with the flaps and the chambers. I wonder if that's what they meant, or did they legitimately lie to us this whole time and tell us that our heart was actually left?
I don't think it was a lie.
How about your kidneys?
Well, I mean, I knew that they were towards the back. I've had one too many kidney shots where I piss blood from sparring and fighting. So
a kidney shot if they're behind your ribs.
They say
now that the kidneys are protected by your rib cage. No, sir. I've been punched there.
Absolutely.
I would like to know how and why that dropped me and I pissed blood if the kidneys are protected by my ribs.
Exactly.
I think Mr. Science Doctor Diagram Man here is a little fucked up.
Right.
So this is the thing, right? This is why I love talking about the Mandela effect, because there's stuff that pisses me off.
Aren't those floating ribs towards the bottom? That makes more sense.
Yeah. So now if you look at the image, right? So you have one that swings to the back, one that comes off of the center.
Yeah.
Right off your sternum. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4. Probably a total of 5 kidneys, 5 ribs that are protecting your kidneys. Now, like, you always knew that if your lower back hurt below your rib cage, that's your kidneys.
Yeah, that's the first thing. Listen, I've been to the doctor plenty of time with lower back issues, and the first thing they do is make you take a pee test because they want to see if you have kidney stones or not.
Yep.
Because they tell you, where does it hurt? And you tell them, like, just right here. Okay, yeah, that sounds like a kidney issue. You know what I mean? So it's like, do you go to the ER with kidney pain and they're like, what timeline are you from before they fucking help you or what?
So where do you guys stand with the Mandela? How do you feel about it?
I'm a full on believer that, timelines have been shifted. Okay. So personally, I come from the realm of belief that there are certain densities to each dimension. And I think I don't know how we exactly vibe in and vibe out of each, you know, level of density of dimension or whatever, but I do think that, you know, the same, like the level that I'm on, Jacob will never be on. The level that Jacob's on, I will never be on. I don't think that reality is the same for each of us. I don't think that it's same for me or you. And it's not just because of what we see on a daily basis, you know, our wife or our kids or our work or whatever, but there are certain things that happen. And you, depending on whatever density you're on, I think that, you know, maybe you start getting more synchronicities. Or who knows? Maybe the synchronicities were always there and we just never paid attention. But I think that, you know, the higher vibration, this is going to get super woo-woo, but that's who I am. But I think that the higher level that you're vibrating or whatever, I think that, you know, you start noticing more things that you normally weren't privy to before.
Right.
And maybe that in and of itself is altering the timeline. I don't know, because there are a lot of people who say that they remember when Nelson Mandela died in the prison. And then there's other people that say, no, he died a lot longer after that. And so I don't know that it affects everybody in a weird way, you know?
See, because this is where Chris disagrees, because I wasn't even born when Nelson Mandela died in prison, because that's what I remember. That's what I remember.
Very little when Nelson Mandela died in prison.
Got out of prison, had a long legacy of leading this country.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Morgan Freeman, dude?
Nope, not Morgan Freeman.
All right, I gave you a chance.
But see, then it's weird because, like, what you're saying there with the frequency, right, makes sense, because maybe Chris is just on a different frequency. Maybe there's a glitch in his code.
I vibrate at a way lower frequency. There's no doubt about it.
I don't want to be that guy, like, poke a hole in the whole Mandela thing. But just for the record, both stories are true. He did die in prison, and he also led South Africa for a very long time. The thing is that once upon a time, a story was released when he was arrested and beaten the fuck out of by the cops, that they beat him to death. Riots started over this, okay? And it was a whole thing. The story got out that he died, and some people just kind of ran with that and never thought about it again, because how often do you think about South Africa? Next thing you know, Nelson Mandela just died. He led this out there. It was like, wait, hold on. He died in prison. That's the last we heard of it. It's because that's the last word you heard on it. So for a lot of people for a very long time, that was truth, because that's the last word on the topic.
So do you,
there's just that little thing
right now.
Well, feels good.
But do you give credence to why they named this idea of what takes place with people misremembering things?
Yes.
After Mandela?
Absolutely. And there are multiple confirmed cases of it, right? And the obvious one, everyone brings up the Bearstein versus the Bearstein Bears or whatever.
It's different. Don't tell me it's not.
It is different.
Okay.
I remember one thing. It is something else now. Now, also keep in mind, I was a kid, and there has been a lot of drinking since now and then. So it's very possible that I am fucked up on that. I'm also willing to acknowledge my own human nature of being a little bit fucked up from time to time. Mm-hmm. That being said, no, there's multiple cases where, like, all right, I know what the fuck it was back in the day, and it's not that now. Somebody lied. Something happened. I don't have a theory as to the why. I don't see the bigger picture. Who gained from changing the name of the Bears? Who gained from this shit? You know what I mean?
I don't think it was something that someone did on purpose. I think that as soon as they fucking lit CERN up, that was the end of a lot of things, right? You're talking about trying to find a God particle, smashing shit together. How many scientists were saying, listen, this is a fucking terrible idea. We should be doing this. But you could, you know, theoretically open up wormholes, black holes. You could start, you know, combining different timelines and things like that. The vibration of everybody is going to change. And then the world went pretty much to shit right after that. Or some people think it was when fucking Harambe died. So,
hey, dicks out for Harambe. We don't forget. We remember our favorite gorilla that no one knew.
I don't know. I'm just somebody. I don't think that we fully understand, like, reality itself. Facts. So a lot like we, you know, forget things. Like, we forget a lot of shit, like, right, on a daily basis, short term, long term, doesn't matter. We always forget. And I have heard, you know, people bring up about how the universe works a lot in the same way as our brain, that the universe doesn't even exist without the existence of our awareness of it, in a way. Fuck. Right. So is it possible that, you know, we forget a lot of shit? Is it possible that a lot of history is forgotten? Like, by just history itself,
I mean, as it said, lost to the annals of time, as it were.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's weird. It's so weird. But I'm definitely somebody. Yeah, the Mandela effect is a. Now I know that there are a lot of weird ones that are brought up, and it's like Sex and the City, or Sex and the City, and it's like, okay, I could see that one. But as far as the Berenstain and the Berenstain, yeah, I was, I remember watching that. I loved Berenstain Bears. I love fucking Barney whenever I was a little kid. Like, I'm not going to misremember Barney's name and say, oh, I loved watching that purple dinosaur. Remember Barnier?
Right. Like, no. That French fuck.
It's like, no, we remember this shit as a kid because they're like fucking imprinted into our mind, you know?
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah.
Especially with a lot of 80s and 90s nostalgia. Like, if you start fucking things up, maybe you don't go for some of the most iconic graphic design shit to ever see eyes. You know what 100%. I mean?
And maybe that's why we take it so fucking personal, right? Because that was ours.
Yeah.
And now you're fucking with it?
Fuck with my shit.
It's ain't like Elvis had a different hairdo and they're my momma's losing her shit. No, dude. You're fucking with the 90s babies here, okay?
Right.
It is a bit sinister in its own way, too, because if you really think about it, you know, what they say is whenever you die, you know, you don't get to bring any of your physical shit. All you get to bring is your memories, right? So if they're fucking with your memories, now you ain't bringing shit,
What about this theory?
Even worse than it was.
What about this theory, bro? The dial-up tone that we all heard growing up actually was jogging our memory. It actually was that the whole time. We remember something else, but it was the dial-up tone that no human brain had ever heard before. No eardrums had picked up those specific tones in that specific pattern before that time. Yet all of us remember that tone. Meanwhile, my children have no idea what that tone is like. Think about this, gents.
Oh, man.
Not cool, dude.
I know.
Yeah, we're vibing. Hey, we're having a good show.
Have fun here, dude.
I'm sorry.
What did you just do?
Dude, we're supposed to end the show on a high note so we don't go out of here at all.
Because now you're saying that shit, and I'm thinking of like fucking Trinity picking up the phone.
Yep.
And like returning to the real. God damn it, dude.
Oh, no. Is Matrix Theory a little too close to home at this time? They've been trying to warn us, y'all.
As long as I put enough beers in between me and that theory, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah.
So let me get finished up on number three.
Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin your party.
Didn't mean to ruin your Black Panther.
Is it Brian? Is it okay if I start drinking again?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just listen to a dial tone. Why not?
There you go. I bet it'll lull you to sleep weirdly.
Okay. Yeah.
Dude, you should do a hypnosis session with that dial tone in the background. Do hypnotize me with that playing at very low frequencies in the background. Let's just see if I get beamed up like fucking Scotty, dog.
That'd be a whole nother episode.
We got to do that live.
We got to do that live.
We'll do that one live. He's going to hypnotize me. He's actually a licensed QHHT therapist, and he does past life regressions and things. So we have been going.
Can you do me right now?
It would take like 3 hours.
I was like, was I dope in the past life or what?
Probably. I don't know.
You would have to tell me.
So yes. He's going to help me do this eventually. We talked about putting it out there one day. Bro, we're going to do this multiple times. We're going to do it with different tones, different music, different shit in the background. See what happens.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out like how I want to tweak that hypnosis with you.
You dick. You're going to make me have a bad trip.
No. You can't. You literally can't have a bad trip.
I know what you mean. I'm poking fun, but yeah.
But yeah, I want to, you know, maybe I say a word, a command, and
penis.
Start fucking riveting. I don't know.
You're going to try to fuck with me. Oh, at the same time, how many times have I said it? You got to fuck with people.
Why wouldn't I?
If you have the opportunity, you'll get it.
Yeah, let me ask you. Like, if you can go invisible, dude, why not, like, you know, do some nefarious, like not nefarious, but just some prankster type shit, right?
Honestly, that's all I would do because I'm not mean spirited and I'm not like a perv like that by nature, right? So out, those are out. But if I was,
I might go into the WWE women's locker room.
Yo, Rhea Ripley, though, right?
Yeah, what up, Ripley?
Oh my God,
he fucking gets it
in my mouth. She is so hot.
Get the fuck out of here! It's Bailey with that big
climb that tree, no problem.
Some of us like women.
See that. I don't know what it is. Like, Ripley looks like she would, like, let me kick you in your nuts. And I'd be like, yes, ma'am. That's not my fetish, but.
See, I'm just going to throw this out. I don't know if anybody's ever trained here, but if you've ever sparred with the opposite sex and let that lead to things while sparring, gents, it's a whole nother fucking experience.
I see. I've never let it lead to that. I've trained with plenty of females, but none of them have been Ripley attractive. That's for damn sure.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that Rhea Ripley is a transgender.
Oh my God, dude.
But if there ever was one in the WWE, you'd look at fucking Rhea Ripley, bro.
That's
who I would have said China. I would have said China is.
Obviously. That's old. I'm talking about current.
Oh, okay.
Dude, Ripley does not even look like China a little bit, you know? And hey, you know what? I'll fucking and China did it, porn. Dude, I'll let you know.
they got better with the facial reconstructive surgery.
I know what it is for Rhea Ripley for you. It's her jawline, isn't it? That's what kills it for you.
No, look at Ripley prior to WWE.
Yeah, with the long blonde hair. Does not look like the same human being.
No.
He doesn't.
Looks like a high school cheerleader.
Let me ask you this real quick, and we'll wrap it up so we not keep you guys too late. With the past life regression stuff, with what you do, does that work on everybody, or do you have to have some sort of a belief in that it would work on you for you to experience something like that? Like, can you hypnotize everybody?
Everybody you've ever met has been able to watch TV for more than 60 seconds continuously, right?
Sure.
Everybody you've ever met has been a little groggy whenever they wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody, I've never met one person that like opens their eyelids and is like, I don't need coffee. I don't need energy drink. I'm ready to go.
Dog. SpongeBob.
Nobody's like that, right? Like except for kids, but that's a whole other story. That's a whole other story. But
yeah, they haven't experienced enough yet.
Everybody is capable of being hypnotized. It's not a matter of belief. It's a real legit thing. So basically all it is, if anybody has ever tried a guided meditation, this is what I always tell everybody. Like, it's not like, you know, that there's what I do as far as past life regression and basically this guided meditation. And then there's stage hypnosis. That's mm-hmm. completely different. That's like, you know, somebody being up on stage doing magic tricks. Well, you know, that's not real. Right. And that's the same thing as far as that stage hypnosis shit. Those are just people who are willing to like accept commands easy, basically. Yeah. With this, all I'm doing is just getting you extremely relaxed, extremely comfortable. And in my main goal is to get you into the theta state of mind. It happens naturally twice a day, right before you fall asleep. And as soon as you wake up, you got 1 foot in dream world, 1 foot in the real world, right? Mm-hmm. Like you might still be dreaming. So you're on your way to the toilet and you might be pissing like on the outside of the bowl because you're not fully awake. That's where I want you. I want you pissing everywhere.
Okay. All right.
But that's basically what it is. And so I'm trying to get you into that dream state. That's the theta state of mind. Right. And when you're there, I'm literally just asking what you see. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? And just building off of that, it's essentially a lucid dream. That's all it is.
So is there a way to teach yourself to lucid dream? Is that a possibility?
100%. Yeah, yeah. Really? And so, yeah, because a lot of people say that there are certain things that you can do. There are certain juices that you can drink that will like help, you know, the possibility or the probability.
Yeah, they say apple juice does.
Apple juice, right? Like if you drink it right before you fall asleep, it's supposed to help you with that. But the best thing that I've heard that I've actually proven myself is by keeping a dream journal. So if you wake up, you're training your mind to remember your dreams. Because if you go to sleep and you have no intention on remembering these things, now some of the dreams.
I might not write some shit down, do you know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe yes, maybe no. If you start to see a pattern, you could then notice things where you'll be like, oh, wait, I am in a dream right now. And then you can control it. So you actually, it's the weird things. You may not want to share your dream journal with people. Yeah. It might be a very personal thing, but it's something that you need to document.
So I'm somebody who really looks forward to nightmares. Like I love a good nightmare. but it's because I know that I'm capable of waking myself up instantly. I know that I'll never be stuck. And it all kind of dials back into this. Like, I know that I'm in this dream. I know that this reality is not real. Yeah, sometimes it kind of catches me off guard a little bit. You know what I mean? But for somehow, I know that I can wake myself up no matter what.
Right. Well, that's because you've dabbled in that world so long recreationally and professionally, in a sense.
Right.
That you're very familiar with it.
Right. And it's the same thing as far as, you know, visiting a life from a past life regression. Whenever you're under hypnosis, you know, deep down that if it starts getting a little too fucked up, you can snap out of it with ease. Right. Like, it's not like, look at my watch and you're getting very sleepy. It's nothing like that bullshit.
Yeah, no.
He actually hypnotized
my brother. I watched a session. It's actually seemed very relaxing, very calming.
It's basically like, you know, some kind of
It's self-guided like, meditation. That's
yeah, that's pretty much all it is. And so whenever you do see a past life, I mean, and you can take for that what you want. A lot of people don't believe in reincarnation. Just look at it as a fucking a story then. So even if you don't believe it, well, you don't need to believe a dream to have lived it or to have experienced it. It's the same shit.
Who's to say that that dream wasn't real to you? Or the experiences or the lessons you learned or whatever the fuck. Who's to say what isn't real? That's a you versus you thing.
Yeah, I go as far as to say that what's the difference between a dream and reality? Reality is only reality because everybody else agrees upon it. Like, go out of that dream and ask them if they believe if that's reality.
I don't. Yeah,
this could be the dream.
It's trippy as fuck.
So is it true then that like you dream every night no matter what? Because like I'm such a deep, like I'm a deep sleeper. I don't remember the last time I actually had a dream.
I don't dream at all.
So here's the deal. As far as, and this is something that I look for whenever I'm hypnotizing somebody, as far as do you dream every night? Well, it all depends. It all depends on, are you going into that REM cycle? That REM cycle is where you have your dreams at. And that REM, it stands for rapid eye movement. And so I know that somebody is experiencing something fucking heavy whenever I have them under hypnosis and their eyes are just like looking all over the place. Their head's not shaking, but their eyes are moving like they really are seeing some shit. That is, that's whenever you're dreaming. And that's why I relate it all back to dreams, because what's the difference?
Dude, I'm going to start trying to keep a dream journal.
Yeah,
it works. I'm going to write it down.
It works.
I would love to lucid dream.
I would live the dream, period. I have tried keeping a journal, and I honestly have not dreamed in the last three fucking years.
Wake up blank.
There's just a nothing gap happened. In your journal.
No, dude, when I sleep, I might only get 4 hours of sleep a night. You got to understand. Yeah. So when I do, I'm in a coma. When my head is the pillow, I got about a solid 2 to 3 minutes. And if there ain't no action happening, dude, I'm out cold. Fucking coma. Yeah.
You know what's a trip, though? Like, you could fucking get knocked out on the couch for the afternoon, you know, an hour, 2 hours, and you'll have a dream that it seems spanned, you know, a day at least. And so it's like everything's happening so rapid, even though it's in such a small amount of time, you wake up and you've lived an entire day in a dream sometimes. You know what I mean?
You think drugs amplify it?
I think weed takes away from it.
Really?
Yeah, because that's what somebody was suggesting to me a couple years ago whenever I was like, man, I wish that I dreamed more. Yeah. And they were like, you smoke weed, don't you? And I was like, yeah. And they said, well, smoking weed actually like prevents you from entering that REM cycle. And that's why a lot of people, whenever they do fall asleep, whenever they're high or whatever, you wake up, you're still fucking tired, bro, because you never fell into that deep sleep that you were meant to.
I'm usually worthless after I smoke the next day.
It helps you fall asleep, but it doesn't help you get into that deep sleep.
Wow.
Yeah. See, but I've never had that issue, because if we're talking like on a 7 day, you know, 7 day cycle here, I smoke all 7 days. And then
I mean, I'd
say maybe 3 or 4 nights a week I'll dream. You know what I mean? But I also have a 100-pound dog that's jumping up and down on the fucking bed all night, which doesn't help. But yeah, I think I still dream probably as much as I did prior to. And I don't know if it's any particular strain or if it's, you know, sativa, hybrid, indica, whatever. But
well, I'll ask you, how long do you, so whenever you smoke, how long does it take for you to eventually go to bed?
Usually what happens is I'll fall asleep on the couch and I'll wake up like an hour or two later, and then I'll go to bed, and then from there I'll dream.
Okay.
And you think it's that break, maybe?
That's my theory, because the weed that I smoke, I'm not going to lie, dude, I've been smoking since I was fucking 17 almost every day.
Yeah.
And it only takes me like a hit or two and I'm stoned, bro. I'm such a lightweight.
Same days.
And so whenever I smoke it, and plus I prefer Reggie or Mexican dirt weed, whatever you want to call it. I prefer I can't handle that heavy shit that's fucking being made in labs in Colorado and California. I can't do that. because I just start comic booking, bro. Like, reality is not the same. It's like,
There's times where I'm like, dude, I need something to hold me tight.
The reason I bring this up real quick, and we'll end the show here, is I don't know if you guys have ever heard that story of, I think it was Ari Shaffir that was telling it, when he smoked salvia, And like the high from Salvia is like 15 minutes, maybe not even that long. He told a story. The first time he smoked it, he's right. He gets all fucked up, comes back, and they're like, "What did you see?" And he's like, "I lived another life for 3 months in an underground, like, or underwater world."
Yeah.
Like Jar Jar Binks status. Like, he's like, "I had a family, I had kids, I had a job." Like, he spent 3 months of a time in 15 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it was, from a drug. Do you think that was like just a pure hallucination on his part?
I personally don't believe that whenever people say hallucination, they think that it's just like misfire of chemicals that are going off in your brain, and that's your mind's way of telling a story or whatever. I don't buy that bullshit. Right. I do personally believe that it's so hard, dude. I try and keep such an open mind with this, or else you're never going to have a full understanding. So you got to keep an open mind with it. And I'm so happy you brought up that story, because that's something that I tell all the time about Ari Shaffir, and about, oh my God, I was only down for 15 minutes, but I lived like months or years of a life. And one thing that I can say as far as that relating to past life regressions is that in my past life regressions, dude, I remember my wife. I remember my kids. And whenever I die, because through these hypnotic sessions, you take yourself through the death process so that you can understand, you know, the moral of the story of why you live that life, because there's a reason. You know, there's a reason for everything. But I remember whenever I die and I'm, you know, in my astral body or wherever the fuck I am, I remember like literally weeping, but it wasn't even that body or that fucking energy. Like, I was crying, bro.
Yeah.
Like I had literally like fucking been taken away from my family. And so, dude, it's fucking intense and it's real. And yeah, we've all had dreams. I've had dreams where, you know, my parents die or my kids die. Yeah. And, you know, every so often I'll wake up and I'm crying because it seems so real. But maybe it was. Like, maybe on another dimension it really was.
Yeah, like dream walking, right? Like the whole idea of, which is kind of funny, because, I mean, they've kind of introduced that into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right?
Yeah.
With Doctor Strange, he's dream walking. He's able to project his consciousness into a different version of himself, whether it's on a different planet, plane, time, whatever. They're experiencing that. And I'm wondering if dreams are that. You're experiencing something either from a past, present, or future life, and that's why it feels so real. You know what I mean? It's fucking so crazy to think about.
Well, dude, I mean, they say that there is like, I mean, supposedly within science, they found like how many dimensions, like 17 or some shit, right?
We have math that definitely equates out to the 17th.
But that's just our understanding. Like, from all we know, there's infinite dimensions. There's infinite timelines. They say that every time you have a thought, and you can do one thing or you can do another, bang, there's a whole nother fucking timeline. So whenever we have these intense, crazy dreams, or whenever we do go into these like intense past life regressions, could that just be like a peek in the window of what that life is, what's currently going on in that life, simultaneous to your own life?
Fuck.
I believe both could definitely be happening at the exact same time, as a matter of fact.
Hey, Brian, boy, just put it on me that there's another dimension or another timeline that my pool came out fucking perfect and tits
on time.
And I'm so sure that I was so happy in that timeline.
Oh, dude, I bet you guys are fucking stoked on it.
Fuck.
That's so
I'm happy. And you are fucking stoked, bro.
That's wild. Well,
I also believe that both could be happening at the same time. I don't believe that every single acid trip someone has is some sort of portal into the other universes of ... It could absolutely be their brain firing off crazy chemicals and just kind of taking their brain for a joyride. Who's to say one way or another? Who's to say that it is not any more or less real for one person or another? So could some of these things be entrances into another dimension? You know what I'm saying? I could definitely see both being very plausible, and I kind of see yes to both.
But I also think that by demeaning that experience that you have, you're also demeaning the experience that you're currently having, because there are people who say, well, the chemicals that you that are firing whenever you experience love or happiness or joy, well, those are just chemicals. That's not real.
Right.
So who's to say what's real and what's not?
No, at that I point? Agree with what you just said. Happiness is chemicals. It's a feeling. It's not a tangible thing you can do. You can create a feeling of, but you cannot create happy and hand it to somebody.
True.
Right.
I agree with that. Well, I don't know, man. So when they handed me that first little baby and that second little baby, third little baby.
I'm very glad you gave that argument because that was going – I was actually going to give that argument against myself. There is not a tangible happy that you can right. hand somebody. However, there is certain things that are absolute goods, absolute yeah. pures. A newborn baby, for example, that is an absolute pure. Okay, no matter how you feel about things, that's going to give you your spirit, man, your soul, if you will,
yeah. Yeah,
a feeling of joy.
Exactly. That's a feeling.
That's that a fill your cup moment.
Yeah, but that's a feeling that I could never. I tried my hardest to explain it to Big Country. I know you did too, but that's a feeling that you could never put into words.
Nope.
Right. You cannot explain that feeling that you get. I mean, it's so hard to articulate what happens to you when that happens. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
they tried and it wasn't until I held my son.
Words will never live up to the actual.
It wasn't from lack of effort either. And even with two guys that have experienced it multiple times to be able to try to articulate it properly and give it justice to Big Country right before he had his first child, there's nothing that can, you can't articulate it until you feel it. Until you experience it on your own, you can. But when once he, Big Country held, his son,
Storm Shadow,
it was Storm Shadow. He knew he could look at us and be like, "Yeah, I know, I know what you guys are talking about now."
And then now I couldn't explain it to them.
Yeah,
it's but they kind go, of "We know." Impossible concept. How do you explain color to a blind man?
True. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. It's not saying that something's wrong. You don't currently have the status to have that feeling just yet. It's a thing.
Like you said, it's just pure joy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest difference between joy and happiness.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I get that. But then I also understand that life is messy and there's areas of grace throughout and that humans are sinful by nature. We're all imperfect. You know what I'm saying? And we're all just trying to be better than we were yesterday at the end of the day.
Yep.
And let's wrap it on that. That's a great way to end the show right there. Jonathan, Jacob, Cult of Conspiracy, where can everyone find you?
Well, we're on podcast everywhere. Cult of Conspiracy, you'll be able to find us if you just want to listen. Just listen to the podcast. Podcast is free to everybody. We put out 3 shows a week. Yeah, and we put out an extra one on Patreon. So
and Rock
3 shows and Rockfin. If 3 shows isn't enough, you can get the 4th one. You subscribe to Patreon or Rockfin. Rockfin is Cult of Conspiracy, rockfin.com/Cult of Conspiracy, or you can go to patreon.com/Cult of Conspiracy podcast, and you'll be able to find that extra show. Plus, you know, sometimes we go a little bit longer and have the after show. Once a month, we have the live show for anybody that wants to tune in and ask us any specific questions. And other than that, yeah, we're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, we're on Facebook, all at Cult of Conspiracy Podcast.
Awesome. Well, man, this conversation was so much fun. I love doing these shows. As we started with, I love going on topic, and just see where it takes us. I think
we got to do it again so I can experience the full Monty.
Yeah. Well, you get to listen to this one. You get to listen to the first half of it, at least when it comes out. So again, thank you guys for your time. Thank you so much for your time. We'll definitely do this again. That is it for this episode of Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracy Podcast. I have been Big Country.
I'm Boya.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you guys next week. Take care. Jacob Johnson.